Okay. Yeah, it came from a it's it was a I don't know, a reflection or something moving in me, some anger and some fear about there's a one woman who sent an email to Clinton saying, I would like to deliver and expand the box over different weekends, like now that we're in lockdown, over 4 or 5 weekends, and charge 20 euros per weekend or 20 euros per day. And then it was like, and she's not, like, she's sort of in contact with the game world, but she's not really in the game world. And so she said this and this and this, and there was no question. And so Clinton said, okay, what's your question? And she said, well, how do I know that I can deliver, like, how do you define an ETB? Like, is it the price, or is it the 3 days, or is it the 5 days? Is it the content? Is it the, and there was all those questions, which I think are really valuable question, and but not so much about the ETB, but about what does it mean to be a trainer? What does it mean to be a trainer? And what does it mean? I think mostly it's what does it mean to be a trainer in like a possibility management trainer? And one of the, I think something that some of us have been facing into, and not everybody is at this point, so maybe I'm speaking and I'm glad I'm speaking into a recording because it will probably go to other people. But it there was this the trainer guild holding this idea of how to become a trainer. And the for me, what I because I've asked that question to them, it's like, what does it really take to be a trainer? And I never got a real answer. I never really got a straight answer. But the answer that I got is basically do 10 labs and do 3 trainer skills lab, and then with that then you should be a trainer, something like that. And I don't, it irritates me, it makes me angry, because then it's a certificate program and it's school, and there's absolutely no guarantee that after 10 labs and 3 trainer skills lab that you are capable of holding an ETB space. There's no guarantee. And that to say that that will guarantee that you can do that, or that's the threshold, I it's like it's a lie. It's a lie. And so then I'm being, I think for me the question is, what does it mean to be a trainer, a possibility management trainer? And especially, what does it mean to be a possibility management trainer when possibility management is a next culture game world? And I, my assumption or my guess is just my resonance to, I'm not sure that the Trainer Guild has really asked that question. I don't think they really inquired into that question. So I think it's new territory. And that the trainer path is, I think, sort of shaking the status quo. It's shaking the status quo. And it's not about creating chaos, like that's not really what I'm interested in or where the trainer path is, but it's about building new territory. So I got some consideration, let's say. I don't know if those are answers, but those are consideration. And so I wrote them down and I want to share them with you. So one thing, so I already said it, but one thing that I wrote down and I want to say it this way is, like, I think the steps of like doing 10 labs and building a possibility team and delivering rage clubs and going to train a skills lab are steps. So they're no guarantee, but I think they're relatively good guidelines in terms of how to initiate ourselves into adulthood and into being a trainer. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't do 10 labs. I think everybody should do 10 labs, as because it's a great those are initiatory spaces, and we need continuous initiation. But I think one of the things that was important for me is that this question, I'm sort of all over the place, okay? It's not really build up theory or build up, but this woman who said, okay, I want to deliver and expand the box. And first of all, she speaks to Clinton. So she's like, she wants permission from Clinton for her to deliver, expand the box. And she didn't, so she didn't get the game world. She didn't get that Clinton is not the boss and he's not the one giving the certificate saying you're a trainer, you're not a trainer. And for me, it's like, I asked this question, okay, what does it take to be a trainer in a possibility management game world? And it's about contributing to the game world. That was my big answer is that every step that you do, every process that you do, every new discovery or new distinction is about growing the possibility management game world. So you're not actually doing it for yourself or for, like it's not a personal success. And I think that's pretty radical. Like it's a radical point of view to say, well, whatever you do is not a personal success. It would, if you're part of this game world, it would be the game world success. And I think the modern culture of thoughtware has something to do with, well, there's this amazing game world called possibility management, and I'm going to write on it. I'm going to write on the legend of possibility management without contributing to it. And it's like a free rider kind of point of view. Mm-hmm. And that's what I felt from this woman wanting to deliver an ETB. It's like, she didn't say, what can I, oh, can you hear me?
Can you say that again? You were kind of,
Wait a second. I'm changing my Wi-Fi.
Frozen.
I'm back. Is this better?
You're back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like what triggered, like not triggered, but really made me angry with this woman who's saying, I want to deliver and expand the box. She didn't say, how can I contribute to the game world? She didn't say mm-hmm. that. She said, how can I deliver, expand the box so that I surf on the legend of this amazing game world? There's people in the waiting room, so
oh,
a bit. Yeah.
I don't see.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of ways, and I want to kind of share that with you because what I've noticed is that the more I contributed to the game world in a place of, I want this game world to fly, the more I was rewarded, like the more I got fed by the game world. And it's not very logical. You know, modern culture is, how much can I take? How much can I get? Like, as doing the least possible, how much can I get? And the shift here would be, how much can I give? How much can I give? And without guarantee that you actually will get fed back, but from experience, I think it works like that. And so I think that's something also about building your circle. And I think you were saying that, Sofia Magdalena. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to, you know, I hate my job. And it's like, well, you cannot, I mean, it's not, you cannot, but I will never tell anybody to quit their job, because if they don't have a circle to provide their service, you know, for an exchange for resources, then it's a societal decision. And I've met a couple people who've done that and then blame possibility management. So I'm very careful in telling to not tell people quit your job. But you can really already, as train a path walker, start building the game world that, or start building your circle, which it would also be your game world, that feeds into possibility management. And I realized for me, like to build my own circle that's separate from Clinton's circle, it took a lot of legend making. it took a lot of legend making from my part. Like, I built the possibility management group. So my name was everywhere on that group. I'm sending out the sparks. So every week I have to build a spark newsletter. I am in contact with the trainer guild about sending out the PM newsletter and about, so, and on and on and on. And this is my way of caring for the possibility management game world and realizing that then people can feel me in this game world. And when they attract it to possibility management, then they have to check, okay, who am I talking to? And some people are also attracted by me, but they're first attracted by possibility management because the game world is way bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So, and then, but you have to create your own legends, you know, because you're unique in your trainer being. Your trainer being is unique. So anything about that, or does anybody has questions or comment or?
I really want to share that I'm just incredibly thankful for most of everything you just said, because I felt this anger as well, that it was like, okay, how am I going to be a trainer? Okay, I have to do 10 laps and then I have to do this and I have to do that. And I was like, well, but maybe it's not the way. Maybe I'm already delivering something before I have 10 laps. And yeah. Mm-hmm. This is just really like pushing me to just keep doing it, because as I experience right now in my state where I am, is that people are knocking on my doors and other doors for me to do something for the game world are opening. So yeah, I had this feeling before that something it's important to be done, or I have to do stuff, and it will be somehow connected to possibility management. So I'm really glad about what you just said, because it has a lot of resonance with me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that I'm still digesting it or somehow letting it sink in. But for now already, what I can say is there's many things that confuse me about that. One thing is like, okay, I was a trainer before I started with possibility management. So there's ways to be a trainer. There's one thing. Like, I mean, I can be all kind of trainer in all kind of ways. And then the other thing is, but it's interesting because it's part of my construct that I believe that people will not appreciate what I'm doing, whatever I'm doing. And so for me, this thing of if I give into the game world, like there would be, the game world would grow, or I would do some legend making thing. That's, I don't feel that. For me, that has no truth, because for me, I felt that people would not see what I would what I bring into the space. I felt like, oh, it's some interesting person, and she's some kind of out of my box thing. But they wouldn't see that I'm kind of building up with them what's going on in the space. I did not have the feeling, not from the trainers, and not from the participants. So somehow it doesn't really work for me, because in the beginning I felt that. I felt exactly what you just said. I felt that I have a lot to give, and I want to share that in a space of people who are able and willing to feel. And I felt that this is the game world where people would be, yes, I want to feel, and I want to know where I am in the space. And I did not have this feeling. I mean, I was invited to other labs, or to more labs, or to more trainer skills labs, but I did not feel that I'm part of a resource that's like feeding itself. by people who bring something in. I didn't really get that somehow. I still have this feeling, okay, if I would want to be a trainer in that context, I would have to ask a person that is already appreciated as a mentor, and then I have to, I feel very much the school thing in there.
Can I ask you a question, Habit?
Yeah.
So it seems, I don't know if it's a question, it's more, it seems like you think, or you, that you have inside of you, that the possibility management game world is the trainer guild, or is the trainer. Because when you say I was not appreciated, or I didn't felt received as a resource, it seems like that was true for, or like that's what happened with the trainers, or you know.
No, whatever. It was with everyone I met. I mean, I met a lot of people in this context. I was also other things than lab, like the Gaia and Confluence and things like that.
Well, is it true in this game world?
I do appreciate you and take you as a deep resource. Just my gremlin coming in here, but yes, I do. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I guess that was the same question as Catherine. Is it true in the trainer path game world?
No, that's why I'm here. Like, I mean,
but yeah, what I'm saying, okay, this is a bold statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. What I'm saying is this, the trainer path, is the cutting edge of possibility management right now.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And the rest is sort of like in a liquid state, or I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it is. And first of all, it is because everybody who come here decided to be a trainer and is a trainer in by nature, the moment that the person committed to himself or herself to be a trainer. I mean, what's the point?
I really want to hug you.
So I would like you to redefine what you consider possibility management.
Thank you. I would do that for my own sake.
Hey.
From my side, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Aunt Louis. What you said, a lot of it resonated a lot with me. And this word giving and contributing to me is something different. Maybe I have a weird idea of what giving is. I would rather go with the word contributing because yeah, because this is contributing to the game world means feeding it in some way, being in interaction with it, and in an interaction that moves things, that develops the game world maybe as well. And it's not the same as giving to me. So the word I go with would be contributing to the game world. And it needn't be necessarily legend making everything that everybody is contributing when they become a trainer. I don't think it needs to be in legend making. Yours was, maybe.
I'm scared about what you consider legend making.
Yeah, me too. What do you consider legend making?
So, look, holding an online possibility team for the past 6 months? How long have you been holding an online possibility team?
Well, it's longer, but not every Sunday.
Mm. Yeah, okay, but longer, like, let's say a year?
1.5 years, is it?
1.5 years. Okay, that is absolutely legend-making.
Okay. It was fun.
Yeah.
And hard.
Legend making doesn't have to not be fun. It's supposed to be fun. No, but this is, I'm not talking about grand gesture are part of legend making, but like, for example, Yule Hutzler, who was here, she decided to make both Clinton and I a mask out of tissue, like out of scraps. Like, we didn't even ask for it. Yeah. And that, you know, that is totally legend making.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it comes out of a being. So this is what I'm talking about.
From the pedestal I put it on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Move it down. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm thinking about if it's because we just said legendary making, and I have this for myself that it's very dangerous, but maybe that's just my system. I'm not sure about this. That's very dangerous to say I'm doing something which is legendary making, because I would call myself as worthy to make a legendary. Yeah. So this is, I was wondering if this is German or if it's me.
So recently, it's funny how processes come in waves. Okay, but recently, most people that I've talked to, especially trainers, what they come is, their thing is, who am I? Who am I to say that I'm making legend? Who am I to say that I can hold on single coaching? Who am I to take a stand for possibility management? How can I, who is not even certified as an ETB trainer, can take a stand for possibility management? Okay, so this is just a self-image. Like, your self-image doesn't match with what you already are. And I'm not saying what you can already do. I'm saying what you already are in the world as an agent of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already made so many legends, Sofia Magdalena. Like, your 7-day experiment, I've talked about it to everybody. and people are doing it. It's in a spark, and it's so, you know, this is totally legendary. So this is one of, I mean, something like, if you listen to Clinton's study group online, like the Radiant Joy Brilliant Love, like, a lot of it, there is personal story from him in trainings. And it's not about him, like, feeding his ego, saying, this is what I can do, or this is what happens around me. It's because it opens a door for people to say, this is what can happen for human being. This is what can happen. And so that's the legend. When you sell your legend, or when you tell your legend, is, I did that, and it's not about me. It's about the door that it opens.
Mm. Yeah, we're back to storytelling in a way of telling true stories. In this case, legends. Yeah, it's a different kind of storytelling from which story is true and on the ETB map, but it's storytelling. And it is, it's a skill.
Yeah, and we've been so taught to, you know, don't be taller. Don't be taller than other people. And, you know, if you show up, then, or if you show off, you brag, or you show off, or, and then people can attack you. You know, if you're taller than other people, then people can attack you. And it's sort of saying, well, fuck this shit, you know? Like everybody in the trainer path has a bigger being than 95% of the planet, because you've already been through so many initiations. And it's just a matter of, like, bringing your self-image, like, in relationship to what you already are.
And for me, it's feelable. You know, like you just said, the 7 days experiment, it was legendary making, and I feel it. I feel that it is like this. And now, yeah, I really stopped this. I stopped this crap, which says, oh, but you can't say this about yourself. Or so this is, as you just said, Catherine, it's like, it's a story, but it feels different for me, at least. It feels different. Feels, yeah. like, I'm not saying it's not feeling like a story. I'm saying it's there's this wind of it did something. It did something to other people. It did something to the game world. It did something. Yeah, it did something.
And that would be what I call a distinction between an unconscious story and a conscious story. And a conscious story opens doors. A conscious story creates possibility. A conscious story paints door. Yeah, paints other other opportunity. And most we are so accustomed to telling ourselves unconscious story that it has this flavor. Unconscious story has this flavor. And then conscious story has a very different flavor. And most often we think the unconscious stories are true. And then when we tell a conscious story that they're a lie.
Do we? Most often, do we?
Well, that's what I've experienced in a lot of training, is that people tell unconscious stories and they think they're true. And when they start telling conscious stories about themselves, then they think it's a lie.
Okay.
Or tell other conscious stories about others. Mm-hmm. But one of the experiments in Write Your Article website is to, and you can do this in the privacy of your own home. You go in the bathroom and look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you just say, I'm a wizardress. And you hold it for like a minute. Or I'm a magician healer, or you know, I don't know, I'm an inner architect. Or I don't know what you call yourself these days. But hold it, you know. And it is as bullshit as when you say, I cannot do it. I'm lazy. I'm shit, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I think what also makes a big difference listening to other people is the amount of unconscious stories that are woven together. And when you start with one conscious story, it just feels like, and I think this is also a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thank you for saying that, because that's something that was said in the book Monday, and I got it. And it, so what it says is, it was something, okay, we were born in a culture made out of unconscious stories and victim stories and scarcity stories and being small and all this stuff. So we have a whole like game world that is so perfectly woven together with stories and constructs and memes. And then we're trying to walk this bridge towards this other next culture, conscious story making. And okay. When you pick one story out of that, and the rest of your stories are still in the old game world, then it sounds crazy. It feels like crazy. But so the point is, or like the point, or the game, or the path is create your own, like make experiments. Make experiments under your own volition, so that you create your own volition is like your own impulse.
Okay.
Create experiment under your own impulse so that you build your own authority about what where you want to live. So it's one thing to read a book or to come to trainings and then, you know, trainers or other people try to build context in you. This is one thing. But for me, and I noticed that shift happened recently, is the shift of I've created my own authority about the world I want to live in. So I'm no more, you know, just believing, oh, that would be nice to live there. And I think it doesn't take very long, but it takes building matrix. It takes experimenting under your own volition with this thing. What does it look like? What do I want my culture to look like? Okay, I'm going to do an experiment. And then you have this, you know, it's the seed that was not given to you. You planted your own seed. And I think you've had this experience before where you planted your own seed. Nobody told you. And that nobody can take that away from you. People can, you know, give you beeps or tell you crazy or that it's impossible, but you have the experience. And it's like, it doesn't matter what other people say. It does not matter. Gabriel, how's it going? You didn't say anything yet.
I'll be back in a minute.
No, I didn't say anything yet. It's going. I don't have anything to say. Yeah. I agree. Like, the Trainer Path game world is the top notch place to be. And this is maybe where I'm stuck at. Yeah.
Okay.
Where you're stuck at?
Like in the conversation.
You mean you're still in this thought?
It's still in my mind, yeah.
Susanne?
Yeah, for me it's I'm very grateful about this these distinctions you said that okay, I had this feeling of school and achievement and passing through levels for the whole time in the possibility game world. And I didn't want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. Like earning the grades to be somebody, someone, and the top grade is becoming a trainer. So it's like you get a gold medal and now you are a trainer and you're like in the inner circle of whatever. And I remember we had a talk. We were eating in a restaurant and we had a talk. And I was so relieved when you said, you don't have to become a trainer to be a trainer. There are lots of game worlds where you can make the connection to possibility management and use the tools. And it doesn't have to be in an ETB or possibility lab. So in a codified context. And this probably made the shift for me that I really thought, okay, I considered going the trainer path. And I'm very glad you mentioned this today, that contributing is the essential thing. Yeah. Okay. So that's what I got out of it. And that's the game world I probably am going to create is not necessarily to be the one that I often practice ETB and do an ETB and so on. Not that I cannot do it, but probably it's not my path. I feel it. I have a different path. And you opened a door for me to be a trainer on a different path.
I have the same sensation, and my words for it are, I need to be able to be a trainer, but I don't need to be like a possibility management trainer all the time. So I need the skills to be able to just hop into that identity at any time, or take parts of that identity into whatever else identity I will choose. So I completely agree with you, Susanne.
Thank you. Makes me happy.
Yes, and I can contribute something to this too. there are, well, I am, I say it, I am more than somebody on the way to be a typical possibility management trainer. I'm not. I'm in order to keep my center and integrate everything that's in my life before and the things I've learned and learned in a way and experimented and tried out and trained. There is more than putting it into, and now you are able to do ETBs. And so I resonate a lot with you, Susanne. I might sometime, I keep it open, I might sometime deliver an ETB. I don't know yet for sure. But I needn't, and it might be something different from an ETB and still be really conveying really possibility management, being possibility management game world. And I'm sure about that. So I don't need to be an ETB trainer, and that's really helpful. And still, I want to keep it open. It might be a good thing sometimes.
I'm glad that you say that because I'm scared shitless before I deliver Expand the Box. I'm like, I cannot do it. I don't want to do it. One time I was in New Zealand with you, Anna, and we were in the Mahai in Wellington. And Clinton did the first session with the maps. And then there's the red pill, blue pill. And I was like, I'm taking the blue pill. I'm out of here. I'm taking the blue pill. And
you.
Yeah. And it was really, anyway, I took the red pill. I was like, it was a consideration. And then I really chose a red pill and I was still in this liquid state in process. And the second session, Clinton said, okay, now you have to go up and let the bright principles come through because I hadn't done that. And so I was still like, and Chloe trying to deliver and expand the box and it doesn't work. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. No. And then the moment the session opened, I'd realized I could change my mind. I changed my mind and I went up there and then it was a wonderful 5 days. And it was with eight people, old trainers, and it was, all white widows. But what I want to say is that after like delivering ETBs for a couple of years and now single coachings and rage clubs, there is a beauty to expand the box that is rare to deliver with so much condense and flow to bring that to one person in 5 days is such an amazing space. So it's not mandatory, but I would just leave that door open because you might feel at some point, hey, actually, they need this, they need this distinction and this distinction. And it's like, okay, this is Expand the Box. And that's how Expand the Box was built.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to share something which is just popping up by all this theme in me because I feel like I'm seriously shifting into, okay, I am a trainer. And it's not like, okay, I'm a possibility management, just I am a trainer. And this is...
So can I interrupt you, Sophia, a minute? Because yeah. I heard that from Gabriel too. So what's the problem with being a possibility management trainer? How is it restricted?
No. Okay. I mean it. By saying I'm not a possibility management trainer, I'm not doing ETBs yet. Is what I
okay. Completed. Like so, forget about possibility management trainer means you're delivering ETB. Possibility management trainer it means that you delivering the skills and the distinction that came out of the game world of possibility management.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm doing that.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I
and had contributing to the game world.
Yeah. But I had this conflict with the word trainer, and now I don't know. I guess it's also because of the the experiment I did. I'm really into this. I am a trainer and I am doing my stuff. And I have this memory because I was thinking that I would like to do my ETB right now. And if I would do, I would fail. Like, I feel like it, I would fail because I would be whatever. And then I remembered that I was working as a dancing trainer for like 3 years. And my very first session was like this. I was asked by some young people who knew that I could dance very well. And then they were like, okay, can we do this? And I just said yes, because I wanted to anyway be a dancing trainer because I thought it's amazing. And then I had 60 students in one class. And I was like 2 hours before the class started, I was like, oh shit, I have no idea. I've never ever explained a dance. And then I just hopped in there. And it was legendary making in the city I was growing up. And from this course on, from this very day, all the schools, all the gymnasium, they booked me for their dancing classes for the final end. Ball dancing thing, and I remember that because I had no idea about how to train dancing or how the steps of a man go or whatever, and I was like, okay, maybe I can do ETBs, maybe I can do the online possibility, because I will not know until I jump in there. And yeah, This is really giving me a lot of, yeah, I'm a trainer, let's go for it. And because yeah, I actually experienced something like that. Yeah. I wanted to share that with you because, yeah.
I see you in the rhythm, being dancing the ETB and finding the music and the rhythm in it. Dancing also with, you know, there are partners and even more partners, and this dancing quality, I just see you with it right now in the ETV. I cannot express it at the moment, but
I want to check with you, Anna. I have an idea, let's say. You know, for me, it's like you belong so much to this tribe. And I know that you don't know most of the people here, but I know them and I know you, so you're part of the tribe. And one thing that we can really do for each other as healers or initiators or trainers, however you call yourself, is to heal each other. So it seems like you are in need of a process and you're not doing it.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, what are you, you know, can you make use of your circle of healer?
I feel a lot of fear going into this question and these topics, and it's because I'm quite stuck with a story that don't get an I think it's not nice to enter something not being organized yourself, and I'd like to just organize my own shit that I'm working through and then say, okay, now I can be there. So
wait, how many people have your shit together?
Usually you ask questions where everybody put their hands
up. I'm sorry. Okay, Anna, it's a fantasy world. You live in a fantasy world that one day you will have your shit together. And this is exactly what we've been talking about today, that people think that if they do 10 labs in Free Trainer Skills Lab, they will have their shit together and then they can deliver an ETB.
then get it in numbers. How many people have you had like run down 15,000 euros? How many people have you had three abortions? How many people were lost? Like, there's some things that are just not nice for some people. And it's not really, it's not, I sometimes just tell little things to some people and they can't sleep for 2 nights and then come back to me. So I'm sorry I asked you about something. And then I go, no, it's fine. It's my thing. And I just, this is what just takes time.
So I'm really okay with you taking time.
Yeah.
I'm not in a, like, not in a hurry for you to become something else. But I'm an asshole and I will keep kicking your ass for you to realize what you really are. And it's like, this is my job. So a lot of people hate me and then it takes a few months, sometimes a few years for them to come and talk to me again. And I'm okay with that. But I just want to say that, you know, how many people here can take care of themselves saying, I want to hear this story and I don't want to hear this story? How many people here can do this?
Yeah.
Say that again.
How many people here can be take care of themselves saying, yes, I want to hold space for you. I want to hear this story. Or no, I cannot hear this story and I cannot hold space for you. How many people can
say yes,
honestly take care of themselves?
I can take care of myself.
We, you know, this, not a lot of people, I believe you, Anna, that not a lot of people in the world have learned to do that. Most people are adaptive. Most people have hidden agendas. Most people want to hear horrible stories so that they cannot sleep at night. And then they will, then they, if they're a victim, then they can blame you and resent you and take revenge on you. Most people around you will be like that. And I'm really sorry that you've had to face into those scumbags.
What are scumbags?
I don't know, in German. Come with a really good insult.
What?
Scheißkerl.
Scheißkerl?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've chosen him.
Yeah. So really here, people will take care of themselves. And if they say they don't, I'll take care of them. Because they don't need to go through a process if they can't take care of themselves. This is a different game world, Anna. You're surrounded by people, adult enough. Okay, we're not perfect. And it's not that we don't have an underworld. And it's not like we don't have a gremlin. But we've worked hard to make distinction and make choices and be as responsible as we can be.
Yeah, thank you.
And I just want you to know that. No, welcome to next culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I want to say that next culture is not a fantasy world. You can choose to breathe it. You can choose every step of the way, and it doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, or it doesn't mean that sometimes it won't work. But no, it's sort of, you don't have to choose to live in a patriarchal capitalist survival scarcity empire. the rest of your life. There are already game worlds, community, tribes, spaces where next culture is already absolutely alive. And it's scary as hell because, like, what I was thinking about the other day is, God, it was really good, but I forgot now. It was really good. It was like an amazing insight about people having victim stories. Do you remember what I said about victim stories? And okay. In any case, if it comes back to me, I'll tell you. But it's something about victim stories and choosing victim stories. No, that's it. That's it. It's like if you, you know, if you choose something else than your victim story, the thing is, who will you be?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was in the Rage Club on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
Yeah, and this really, whoa. It, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really gets me. And I've been fertilized by this distinction. It is kind of a distinction, at least by this way of thinking.
And it's scary. It's really scary because I said this yesterday to a friend and she nearly freaked out. Who am I if my stories are not true? As we said, the unconscious stories feel true and the conscious ones feel fake. And it's also scary for me. Who am I if my stories are not true? You'll find out.
This is amazing to be a trainer, because when you start saying that kind of stuff to other people, then you have to walk your talk and it's like, okay, it works also on me.
Well, it makes me want to make up experiments for this whole thing about of the different stories and building a new net of conscious stories and staying in the old experiencing how it is to stay in the net of the unconscious stories, and choosing. Yes, and choosing not the victim story and who will I be. So I just had the impulse to go home and write up experiments.
If you do and you figure out something, we could do it in the trainer path call, or you could share, if you want to rather do it in the possibility team, then would you share the write-up or the ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the impulse that I want to do that. So I'm not into it yet. And yes.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
I have a last question, just because what happened to the Spark 200 was it in the beginning when our internet was broken that you talked about that?
The no. Spark 200 is still there, you know?
Put off.
200 seems to be a very important one, and I'm looking forward to continuing with this next time or after next time, because it's worth it.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's worth it.
Yeah,
about constructs, and not today anymore. I say that.
Yeah. I had, because Anna brought it up, and so it's more of a logistical thing, but I think it would take about 5 minutes, or so probably until 6:30. So it's about the timing and the dates for the calls. And there was for Anna, just with her daughter, Gwendolyn, there was an offer for her to have every other week, maybe a later, like an evening trainer path call. Like, it would 8 work, or?
Yeah, 8:15 maybe. Or during the day. So I've just before the call got an email that I can bring her to daycare, which gives me the time between 9 and 3. But I don't know for people who are working during the day if this is any okay. I can see it's just like around from 6 to 8, we're usually quite busy. I have someone now, it's the first time that she's trying to give her supper, which is not a difficult thing. It's just, yeah, it would be easier if it's before 6 ended or after 8:15.
Any ideas from anybody?
Well, so far Tuesday 5 o'clock was good, and for me it's good if I know ahead and I can actually, you know, not small now but plan, because there are so many other call things I have to schedule. So if it's clear ahead, then it's fine. Also Tuesdays at 8, or every other Tuesday at 8, or also Wednesday, it's fine. But I need to know, or I want to know ahead. I'd rather know like 2 weeks ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's the best would be to have like this, you know, we had Tuesday at 5 and to just have this regular schedule.
Yeah.
What about you guys working? Is it afternoon is just better?
Well, after 5 is better. Yeah.
For Sophia Magdalena and...
Well, Gabriel. For me, it's... I don't have to work at the moment, so it's very difficult. Like, there's a late shift, and sometimes I will have it, and then it's better after 5:30. And during this time, it doesn't matter because I will make it possible to be here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it's more important than the working stuff. So for me, it's evening okay. And during the day, it's really a bit difficult because of the work. Yeah. Like at lunchtime, especially like 12 or 11 or that, our main times I'm working.
Okay, Gabriel?
For me, anything after 3 should work quite well. And in the morning, it's depending on the like weekday. I have like weekly meetings around specific times, and usually if I have no meeting, I can just come. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and Catherine, would 4:30 work? 4:30 to 6?
Yes, it would work.
And that would, Magdalena, you said after 5. This is better for you.
If I have late shift, then it would be better after 5 or after 5:30. But if I don't have late shift, I'm there anytime, except of lunchtime.
Yeah.
So 4:30 is good for you, Anna, or not?
Well, it's just easier because then at 6, we can just start the evening thing here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe the best is just to move it half an hour earlier and we do Tuesday at 4:30.
Yeah.
Tuesday 4:30 every week. And yeah.
Never understood what was wrong with this week's Tuesday.
Yeah. It was a personal thing. So thank you very much for making the day.
Today is fine too, but Tuesday 4:30, yes.
Okay.
Last question is 4 possible or is that too early? Because the earlier that makes it easier for me, but it's too early.
For me, it's too early.
Yeah. Okay. Good, 4:30.
And there are others as well. I don't know about them. And
yeah, I think everybody is pretty on a like light work schedule, like really flexible work schedule. So it's fine to work it out around you, Anna. Okay, yeah. I'll post it in the group. And then we'll take it from there as an experiment.
Yes. And we might try a Spark 200 again because it brings up a lot of wonderful subjects.
Yes.